In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Amen. In his book, How Not to Be Afraid, Gareth Higgins describes stories as shelters. And he says this, that stories, that how we see determines what we see. The story we tell ourselves is more powerful than the things that happen to us. We all have stories, but sometimes the stories have us. Your story can be your shelter or your prison. Today's gospel reading is set at a deeply painful moment for Jesus' disciples. Just prior to this, Judas has departed from the disciples' Last Supper with Jesus to set the wheels in motion for Jesus' crucifixion. Betrayal is happening. And then Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him three times. All the events into which we enter during Holy Week have yet to happen. And in the midst of this, Jesus offers encouragement to his disciples, saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you." And Jesus speaks these words to his disciples to offer another frame to the story, away from one about abandonment and despair and towards a story that is a shelter, a place for them, in which his presence to the disciples can be discovered in new ways. Despite the fact that this gospel is set before Jesus' crucifixion, we're hearing it now in week 5 of what is called Eastertide, or the 50 days between Easter Day and Pentecost. And so it's well after we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And it's here because it's in anticipation of things that are coming in Eastertide, of Jesus' ascension. So the reality that Jesus is going to leave the disciples again. Eastertide, these 50 days, is often billed as a season of joy. Alleluia. It's how we mostly understand Easter, and rightfully so, especially because we can look at it from our vantage point and more easily see the big picture. But as the disciples lived through it, it was a season of incredible confusion. Just when they think they are acclimating to Jesus' new normal, it changes. So Jesus can now walk through walls, but he's not a ghost. He eats food, but he appears and disappears and reappears at random. He has scars. He's back with them explaining the scriptures to them and helping them make sense of things, but now he's preparing to leave again. Very turbulent. And so in these words today, Jesus offers a frame for his disciples to find some steadiness in the midst of it all. And he promises his disciples that he goes to prepare a place for them. And then he kind of cryptically says, "And you know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas responds very reasonably, I might add, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" To which Jesus offers the response, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus offers these words as comfort to his disciples. We hear this passage cited often out of context in conversations about salvation. But the issue that Jesus is speaking to here, his primary emphasis, is that he's speaking of knowledge differently to the disciples to help them cope with what's happening to them, to provide comfort and care to them. And so he speaks to Thomas as a way of reframing their experience and providing them with shelter in their story. Thomas thinks that knowledge means having a plan, a map, a sense of direction. And so he's paralyzed by what he doesn't know. And Jesus is talking about knowledge very differently. He's talking about knowledge as relationship. He's saying that despite all the uncertainties ahead, the constant shelter and place that his disciples have is in their connection to him. This will mean that the disciples will adjust in unforeseen ways to the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, and the formation of their own community. But they don't know that yet. There will be no map, but there will be continued connection to Jesus. Just over a week ago, we went on a staff retreat to Huntington Gardens. And as I was walking around, I saw this sign that said, "Stay on path, renovation in progress." Now, okay, it was a pragmatic sign telling us not to make a mess and step on the plants. I get that. But being a preacher, an occupational hazard of being one is that you're always in search of illustrations and metaphors. And so it also jumped out to me as an apt description for the 50 days of Eastertide, especially in relationship to this passage. We don't go through the same challenges that Jesus' disciples did in terms of how their relationship with Jesus changed. They had to adjust from literally following Jesus on the road to using following as a metaphor. And yet, like the disciples, we struggle with what we know and don't know. We want Thomas's definition of knowledge, a map, maybe even a GPS, clarity, a plan. And what we're offered is the invitation to stay on the path, trusting that Jesus is at work with us to transform us, to renovate us, if you will, as we deepen in relationship with him. So we are challenged to stay on the path, trusting in who we are with, even if we don't know where the path always leads. Throughout our lives, our relationship with Jesus changes. We shift and change, and as that happens, our understanding of Jesus changes. Our life of prayer changes. Sometimes our journey of faith shifts so much that Jesus can become unrecognizable to us, and it can be a crisis. One of the most helpful insights that a spiritual director gave me when I was in a season like this was that our understanding of Jesus is always in flux. Relationships are like that. And when it shifts drastically, it can feel like our connection to Jesus is gone, but it's not. Jesus is big enough to hold us as we grow and change and struggle and stretch. And that's part of the knowledge that comes in relationship. In the uncertainties of life that we experience, Jesus' words of comfort can speak to us as well. Our lives, including but not restricted to our journeys of faith, are not always linear. We imagine that we know where we are going. We kind of need that illusion to function. And so we plan, and we have maps and envisioned milestones of all kinds. And it doesn't always feel great when these unravel. And we can echo the spirit of Thomas's lament, "Jesus, where are you? We don't know how to get to you. We don't know where you are." And so we are invited to reframe our need to know, from what we know to whom we know. And we do this by praying and remembering who Jesus has been to us in the past and to what we know of his faithfulness in the lives of those who came before us. And we can learn from the journeys of others in this community about Jesus' faithfulness. And we can grow in trust as we learn to accept that life and our journeys of faith often unfold step by step rather than in a well-marked out map. As we discern and seek to remain open to the voice of God's Spirit that continues to speak. Stay on path, renovation in progress. Sometimes it's hidden. Sometimes we see it in retrospect. Sometimes we are blessed to know what is happening within us as it's happening, and those are really sacred moments. But there's no formula. The Eastertide promise is that even in the midst of our doubts, fears, and uncertainties, Jesus is faithful. And we have room to grow in relationship, to stretch, to discover this bit by bit every day, both alone and alongside one another. Stay on path. Renovation in progress. Amen.